Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Now, I have so many announcements here to give you, all this information, there might not be time for a sermon. All right, make sure you sign the registration pad, and maybe you can even pass it down your pew. We'd like the visitors to sign our guest book on the back table. Birthday cards and note cards are also available on this back table, and you're welcome to use them. Pray for the prayer box request. Folks look to us for added strength. Be a prayer warrior. And you can see on the prayer list of all the different things that people are asking for prayer for, that prayer box is really used. Here's one very important announcement. There will be no Joy Fellowship this week. That's all the announcements, but Barb Irwin's daughter, Cindy, is asking us to pray for her friend Janet's mother. The mother's going into hospice. And I have a letter here. Even the strongest person can't do it alone, nor should they have to. These words, spoken by a former client, could not be truer. Our agency relies on partnership of our community to provide expert, confidential services to survivors of domestic and sexual violence in Ottawa and Allegan County. Your generous donation allows us to continue providing comprehensive services to survivors at no cost. If you haven't heard, the Center for Women in Transition recently rebranded their organization to better reflect diverse community in which we live and serve. Our new name is Reliance, Advocate for Ending Violence. We can't thank you enough for your continued support. And with regards, Beth Larson, Executive Director. So are there any other joys or concerns? Joy? Now, what was the name? Oh, Sandy Otto. Yes, Sandy Otto. On her transition into heaven. Are you going to ring the bell? Oh, Rick is. I thought, what is he over there for? This is in the wrong place. Thank you. If you're able, will you please stand for the call to worship? God gives us His Spirit that enables us to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
We look to Jesus, and the more we turn to Him, the more we become like Him.
It is only through our Lord that we are able to know God and respond to His love.
We are anxious to learn more of Jesus, and our hearts and minds may be opened to the love of God.
Let's continue with the opening prayer. Perform great things in us, Father. Expose us in the light of your truth. Hold us in the arm of your strength, and send us away with a new resolve to witness to your presence in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we'll sing. Come, Christians, join to sing on 158.
Morning. It's good to see you, and it's good to be here. I feel a little disappointed this morning because there was a memo that went out, evidently that it was okay to wear shorts, and I didn't get the memo. So I'm a little jealous, but you all should be relieved because I don't have the greatest looking legs. So. I wanted to share this with you this morning. I appreciate your prayers for me and because of the leukemia. And I saw my blood doctor this week. I don't see her very often, which means I'm doing well. And the report I got back was a good report. My blood work looks good so far, and she confirmed when I went into remission, because we hadn't heard that exactly. It was in December of last year that I went into remission, and that's significant because after you've been in remission for 2 or 3 years, then there's a possibility of going off the medication or getting it in a lower dose. So anyway, it's all in God's hands, and I'm comfortable with that. But I thank you for your prayers. And I'm glad I don't have to talk about this very often. So I'd like to invite you to a few moments of silent prayer, praying for those on our prayer list, names that have been shared here in the service, or perhaps someone that you have a prayer burden for. And following our silent prayers, I will lead us in a short pastoral prayer, and then we'll share the Lord's Prayer together, and then we will sing the chorus, Spirit of the Living God. It's in the hymnal 393. So let's be in an attitude of prayer together, please. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your goodness and for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy in our lives. We're thankful for the good gifts that we have received from your hand. We thank you for provision that you make for our needs. We thank you for how you reveal yourself to us and how you work in our lives. We're thankful for your Son who has helped us know who you are and helped us experience your great love. We're thankful for his life, his death on the cross, his resurrection with power, and his ascension. We know all of this was for us, and so we give you thanks and praise. It is our prayer that our lives could be more and more like his life, and that he would be our example, the one that we would follow. We thank you that you're a God who cares about people. You care about those that are on our prayer list, for those that have been named this morning and those we name in our hearts. We pray for your help in their lives and for your grace, your mercy, your healing, your presence, your guidance. We pray that you would be real in their lives, and that somehow, if possible, we could be a part of the answer to our prayers. We pray for our world and for our nation. We offer prayers for our leaders. We pray for the church, that larger church that includes many different denominations. We pray for the churches in our community. We pray that you would bless them and use them in meaningful ways to share your love. And as we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we pray for ourselves as well. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to understand and to obey your word. Help us to love people in ways that make a difference for them and for us. We pray for this worship service this morning. May we indeed sense your presence among us, and may you speak to us even as we offer to you our worship and praise. We ask for your forgiveness in our lives where we have not lived as we should, have not done the good that we should do. Sometimes we have done the wrong which we should not do. We ask forgiveness and empowerment of your Spirit in our lives. Hear us now as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'm reading Psalm 96, and I didn't know what page the pew Bible was on because I didn't bring my slip up. So if you want to look, you'll have to look in your bulletin. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in his splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the heavens rejoice. And let the earth be glad. Let the sea around and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. The word of God for the people of God.
Now we'll share together our healing prayer, and we'll follow the pattern that we have been following. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for in your mercy. this time our ushers will wait upon us and we'll worship God with our tithes and offerings. God, it's our prayer that you would accept all the gifts that we offer to you this day, including those that we've placed in these offering plates. Bless our gifts. Use them and us to your service, to your honor and glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now we'll sing hymn number 422, Jesus Thine, All Victorious Love. Show my feet, God.
Sometimes, for me at least, it's possible to sing these great hymns and miss some of the meaning. And it struck me that this morning as we were singing this hymn, John Wesley described his experience at Aldersgate as a heartwarming experience. And I think that's what this song is about. And in the third verse, Charles writes, "Spirit of burning, come." The Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire, and the Spirit cleanses, and one of the means of cleansing is by fire. Our scripture this morning is found in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, just reading this single verse. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Read from the Good News Bible this morning. Paul writes, "We put down every proud obstacle that is raised against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive and make it obey Christ." We take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. Heavenly Father, in these moments we pray that you might speak to us anew through your word, through your messenger. So I was thinking about how much time I have to preach. Carol pointed that out to me this morning. And I remembered years ago I was a young pastor in my first church, and it was the Bannister United Methodist Church. And we were having some kind of potluck meal. And it was supposed to start at a certain time. And Don Hinckley said to me, because I'm the pastor, you know, he said, "I thought this was supposed to start at 6:30. And it's past 6:30. Yeah, that's right. So I went, I turned the pushed the hand of the clock back, so we had a little bit more time. I can't reach the clock up there, but you all have your backs to the clock, and no fair looking at your watch. So my wife will tell me on the way home, you know, if it was long and if it seemed long, and it's the seeming long that bothers me, not the long part. So. Just so you know, I read about this event, but I've seen events like it. But some time ago in a large city, there was a 20-story building that fell to the ground. 20 stories. It was tall. This building at the time that had been built took 2 years. It fell in less than 15 seconds. And the work was done by implosion. You've seen how they do that. They plant dynamite charges at various places in the building, and then they set them off in a sequence. And that's exactly what happened. And this very, very tall building fell in upon itself. It only took a matter of seconds, and this once great building was a pile of rubble. And one of the things they did was they filmed it, and they showed it in slow motion, and you could see the flashes as the charges went off, and you could see the building slowly crumble in upon itself. It's an image of what can happen to a person. We often think of the destructive things that happen to a person coming from the outside, and The truth is, oftentimes, it comes from the inside. There was a famous saying from years ago. Somebody wrote, we've met the enemy, and the enemy is us. Sometimes we are our greatest enemy, and where that enemy lives, where that enemy grows, is inside our hearts and minds, and that's where the battle, the greatest battle, is to be won. Jeremiah wrote these words, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and beyond cure, who can understand it?" One of the things I've noticed is that when people get into trouble, they like to blame someone or something else. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Kids are really good at it. I had this deal with my kids when they were little. You know, they would always seem like they'd be coming tattling on the other one. He hit me, or he called me a name, or something like that. And so I could never really sort out who was really to blame. So instead of blame or punishing one or the other, I would punish both of them. And their punishment would be to sit in chairs and look at each other. and then tell each other they were sorry, and maybe give each other a hug or something like that. I was kind of mean, but pretty soon they didn't bring their little squabbles to me, and I wanted them to get along, but it's easy to blame people, other people, and circumstances for problems in our lives. David had great insight into his own issues, and he said, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And he also said, "Surely," he says to God, "surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place." David realized that God looks at the heart. And he prayed that God would search his heart and test his thoughts. There was a convicted criminal. Her name was Velma Barfield. And she was convicted of murder, and she was executed by lethal injection. Shortly before her execution, she wrote, "I want to make it clear that I'm not blaming drugs for my crime. I'm not blaming my troubled childhood or marriage problems with my husband, Thomas. Someone said to me, 'Velma, you had a lot of pain and hurt and anger, and you never found any release for it. You kept pushing it back, and it was like a time bomb. It finally went off and exploded.'" She says, "Maybe that's right. I don't know. I bear the responsibility for the wrongs I have done. I know those things influenced me, but they are my sins and my crime." Oswald Chambers, a spiritual writer from another generation, makes a statement that is revealing and You might not agree with it, but I think he's right. This is what he says. When God wants to show you what human nature is like apart from himself, he had to show it to you in yourself. If the Spirit of God has given you a vision of what you are apart from the grace of God, and he only does it when the Spirit is at work, you know that there is no criminal who is half so bad in actuality as you know yourself to be in possibility. Those are hard words. The Apostle Paul, I think for those who study Scripture and are familiar with things Paul wrote and things he did, would say that Paul was one of the greatest Christians to ever live. He was a good person. And yet, Paul said of himself, "Of all sinners, I am chief." Jeremiah was right. The heart is deceitful above all things. The point in all of that is that sin, wrongdoing, whatever word you want to use to describe it, begins in the heart. The thought comes first, the deed follows. Read a story about a mother who gave permission for her 10-year-old son to take a look at the swimming pool. It was a warm day, but she gave him strict orders to stay out of the water. Hard thing for a 10-year-old. When she got back, his hair was wet. He explained, "I fell in." She asked why his clothes were dry. He replied, "Well, I took my clothes off because I had a feeling I might fall in." The thought precedes the act. There's a little maxim. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Destiny is determined by our thoughts. There is another little saying that I think has its right. It's not what we think we are, but what we think we are. What we think makes us become what we are. I was thinking about this when we were driving over this morning, and I was thinking about our ages, most of us here. These kind of words you would think would be directed towards young people. And yet, as Christians, we believe people can change. I know there are people in the world who say, well, the die's been cast, and by the time you reach our ages, we're pretty much set to be the way we are. And yet, because of God's love and grace and mercy, our lives can be changed, and we can change. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior and receive His Spirit, that Spirit begins to work in us, and the primary task of the Holy Spirit is to make us more and more like Him, like Jesus. And if you if you think about being like Jesus, that's something that people can't really see. But usually we think about those outside things that everybody can see. The kind of language we use, the kind of stories we tell, the kinds of things we get involved in. People can see those. And we might say, well, you know, is that something Jesus would do? But before any of that happens, it was and is, what should I be thinking about? What would Jesus be thinking about? What would he have me to think about? And this passage of Scripture is important that I read earlier. Paul says, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. I'm not talking about our actions. Talking about our thoughts. So this morning, I want to suggest ways in which we can cooperate as the Spirit teaches us to be like Jesus. And the first and most important is to look at our thought life. What is it that we think about? What is it that consumes our minds and our hearts the most in life? I remember years and years ago when I was a teenager, I would sometimes have these discussions with my mother. You might call it a heart-to-heart talk. You ever had a heart-to-heart talk with your mom? It wasn't always pleasant. And it always came at a time when I least expected it. And in those conversations, she would ask me questions, test my motives, point out wrong actions and selfish attitudes. And there were times when we had those talks that I cried. But I remember afterwards, I felt better. I experienced forgiveness. I changed some of my thinking and some of my thoughts and some of my ideas. And our relationship with the Holy Spirit sometimes is like that. David prayed, "Search my heart and see if there be any wicked way." And then to confess and move on is an important part. A second way to begin to think like Jesus, to become like him, is to use our minds to strategize against temptation and sin. I read a story about a man who was trying to lose weight. And he had been invited to a smorgasbord, a buffet. And he knew at this buffet there would be just a lot of desserts. And normally, if he had gone to a meal like that, he would go back two or three times for the desserts. Now, the way I do it is I just put them all on one plate. But then I don't have to make those obvious trips back and forth. But that's what he usually did. And so when he went to this meal, he made a plan for action. He would go to the dessert table only once, and he would only select one item, and then return to his table and eat slowly. And that's what he did. Because he had planned ahead, he had intention in his mind, and at least for that one meal, he was able to have victory over this weakness. We make our thoughts captive and obedient to Christ by giving the Holy Spirit permission to search our hearts by using our minds where possible to avoid temptation and filling our minds with good thoughts. Philippians 4:8, Paul admonishes, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is desirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. It's not enough simply to avoid thinking about certain things. Jesus told a story about a man who had had an evil spirit cast out of his heart, out of his life, was empty. And then that same evil spirit came back with other evil spirits. And so there were, instead of one, now there were seven. It was not enough just to be cleansed, but it needed to be filled with something else. So what do you fill your life with? Years ago, I was a little league baseball coach. And I don't think I was a great coach. I had an assistant coach. He was good. And I had some really talented young people on my team. And I had followed these kids up with our son Keith, our second son. He was on all these teams. You have to feel sorry for Keith having his dad for a coach, because I was probably harder on him than anyone else on the team. But our last year, my last year coaching, was 14, 15-year-olds, and our team was undefeated that year. We didn't lose a game. We had some close games, and just because we just had the right chemistry, I think. But I can remember talking to the kids about playing baseball, and I remembered something that Yogi Berra said about hitting. I think the Detroit Tigers could take this advice from Yogi Berra about hitting. So if you want to get a pencil out and write this down, mail it in to the Tigers. Hitting is 90% mental, and the rest of it's in your mind. I told these kids, they're just young kids, on the team, that when they went to bed at night and they dreamed, and they dreamed about playing baseball, that they should dream about, if they were a pitcher, striking out batters. That they should dream about catching fly balls. They should dream about hitting the ball. And I'm sure these kids thought I was kidding, but I was serious. Because before you can actually do something, you have to think about it. You have to think about it. I was trying to think about a time in my life where something I thought about, I hoped and prayed, became a part of my life, a part of my ministry as a pastor. I was recalling this experience I had years ago as a young pastor. Within our congregation, there was this older couple, and they had come from Midland. He had been at one time superintendent of the schools in Midland years ago, and they were part of our church, and he had passed away. And so his wife wanted to have the funeral service back at Midland. She wanted me to do the service, and she wanted the pastor of their home church to be a part of it too. And it turned out that they had gone, been members of the Midland United Methodist Church, which is a huge church. It takes up, at least it did then, an entire city block, and it had a huge sanctuary. It's the biggest sanctuary that I've ever spoken in. There weren't very many people there, but the sanctuary was big. But as a young pastor, I was intimidated by all of that, going into that big church and a prominent pastor in our conference. He was an older pastor. He had a doctor in front of his name. And I just felt intimidated. And I remember how he spoke before the service to the widow. I know her last name was Squire. I think her first name was B. She was an elderly lady, too. And he walked up to her. She was sitting down. And he was so gentle. And he put his hand on her shoulder. And he said, "It's hard, isn't it?" And there was such comfort and such grace in his presence with her in that moment. I don't remember what else he said. He didn't say a lot. He listened mostly. And I thought at the time, someday I would like to be like that. And so that was an image that I put in my mind to strive for in terms of ministry with people. What do you put in your mind? What is that good thing, that pure thing, that lovely, admirable thing that you put in your mind? Do you think like Jesus? I'm not sure any of us can really think like Jesus, but we can think about Jesus. And in thinking about Jesus, we can become like Jesus. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit works, and without us even realizing it, begins to remold us and shape us into the image of Christ. There was a song the kids used to sing when our kids were little, and it was called Kids Under Construction. And they said in the song, "God's not finished with me yet." Well, guess what? God's not finished with you yet either. He's still working on you, definitely still working on me. And the goal is for us simply to become more and more like Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of your Son. And we thank you for the work of your Spirit in our lives. It's our prayer that we might resist less and cooperate more with the Spirit working in us, in our hearts and in our minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand as we sing our last hymn. "Stand If Able." The hymn is number 128. "He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought." Please join me for the benediction as it's printed in the bulletin. Grant us, O Lord, that which we have said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that which we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.